Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseased, but they watch all the shots to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason, but that's part of the charm. Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo.
Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo. Yacht Mama, Yacht Mama. Welcome back, my friends, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. This is season 10. Do you believe in magic? And I still do, despite watching this movie. But it's okay. This movie is Dungeons & Dragons, and I mean, it's way out there. But I'm so happy that we get to talk about it. I am your host. I am 8th Dan Stanadu, and I'm joined by my good friends. I've got Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations. And now I have done Jeremy Irons' role in its entirety. please ship me my castle now.
Yeah. All right. And now, Jack Hall.
Sup, gents? What are you so happy about there, Stan? You picked this movie.
Yes.
I have been waiting to kick your ass for this for, I don't know, like a week and a half since I've seen it. I mean, good Lord, this, you know, you ask, you still believe in magic. After watching this, not only do I not believe in magic, I don't believe in living.
I believe in magic and so many other things now. all right, James Cotta.
I'm glad to sit down and talk about this movie. I'm just taking a break from mastering the power of my scepter.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's... You know, it's important to master the power of your scepter.
I did that before the show.
Speaking of mastering the power, let's see if Nick can master the power of describing this.
Did George Lucas get a credit on this? Because it's basically the Phantom Menace with dragons.
There's something to that.
Yeah, I'm imagining everyone sitting around going, you know what did really great box office? Phantom Menace.
I checked. They came out the same year.
Well, I'll tell you when they were sitting around, I know what they weren't doing. They weren't playing Dungeons and Dragons because they obviously had no clue.
This is a full year and a half after Phantom Menace, which means that was plenty of time to make this movie.
Phantom Menace was 98, wasn't it? This is 2000.
99.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's not like they needed, it's not like they did any research or anything like that.
Yeah, I assumed it was a Lord of the Rings thing, but it was out a year before that.
Yeah. That means Lord of the Rings was riding on the coattails of Dungeons.
Well, yeah.
No, but to describe this movie, in a Dungeons and Dragons type world, just picture that, dragons and stuff around. There's a political squabble between the mages.
That does sound like Phantom Menace, right?
Where does the Trade Federation come into play?
Jeremy Irons really wants to take the power away from the people, but he's got a problem. The princess. The princess wants to give power to the people. But she has the white dragon scepter. Jeremy Irons gets an idea. Well, why don't I get the red dragon scepter and we can have a war and I'll steal power from her? So he sends his lipstick dude to go get the red scepter, and he's off. Now our heroes, Ridley and Snails. Snails is the Jar Jar Binks of this movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I already like this.
I love this.
They sort of get caught up in the political intrigue in this. Then some random characters join Snails and Ridley for no apparent reason. I have no idea why anyone shows up. At one point, there's a dwarf. He just pops out of the garbage and, yeah, I'm off on this adventure to die. No explanation whatsoever. And, yeah, they... And to get the Red Scepter, they first have to get the Red Eye of the Dragon, and then they have to venture into the dungeon, which actually turns out to be a hallway, and he just goes down the hallway and gets the Scepter, and they combine the Red Eye. It's really stupid. And then there's a big fight with dragons, which sounds much cooler than it actually is. If you like green screen, you're going to love this movie.
If you like bad green screen, like it's not like this is good green screen work. No, this is just really bad work all together. Just everything.
Honestly, yeah. that bit where he's got to go through the maze to get the jewel. That's the most Dungeons and Dragons thing in the whole movie.
Okay,
now you need to do a throw for this, and now you need to do the throw for this other thing, and now you're not sure if the door's going to work.
There's a British television series called The Maze, where your goal is to go through a maze and get money at the end. Mm-hmm. And the character that played the host of the evil character here is the host of the Maze TV show in Britain.
That's the great Richard O'Brien, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So this is that scene that is the most Dungeons and Dragons thing in the whole movie was thrown in only because they had an idea.
That's awesome.
They could get him, and they thought they could tie that together and it would be hilarious. Not because there was any way, shape, or form that. But then again, that this whole thing is the directors admitted. I had another script that had more Dungeons and Dragons in it. I wish I had done that. You know,
God bless him, because Richard O'Brien, I was so happy when I saw Richard O'Brien. Yeah. Not only do I love Richard O'Brien, for the first half of this movie, I thought the muscly guy with the lipstick was Richard O'Brien. So
when they do look similar.
So about the time that I'm like, well, no, Richard O'Brien has never been muscular. He actually just shows up in the movie. that I get my fix. And I get to sort out who this guy is.
We are glossing over the lipstick, dude, way too much.
Oh,
it's blue lipstick. It's blue lipstick.
It's
we don't know
shimmery
why.
Blue lipstick.
We don't know why.
He's like Jeremy Irons, heavy, but he's being blackmailed into being the heavy.
By a creature that Jeremy Irons sticks in his ears, which do extraordinarily weird things. Like again, if you could.
That's one of the best CG in the movie.
It is.
Yeah, it's still shitty.
Earworm.
But no. Jeremy Irons gave him ear herpes, so he has to go get the good guys.
But honestly, for me, it's another perfect example of if I was making a movie, I don't think earworms so that big things came out your ears and then latched onto somebody else's ears would be my choice. Don't get me wrong, it looks very interesting and weird, but it speaks to the way this movie is designed, in that if there was a decision to be made, and there was a right choice, and there was a wrong choice, then invariably they went for the wrong choice.
No, see, so, I think there was another movie here, because the continuity in this movie is so terrible. At one point, they go into the bar, Snails just wanders off, and somebody says, where he's going, don't worry about it. Snails is back in the next scene. I think there's another movie here that we didn't see that was just cut out entirely. That would explain a lot of what's going on in this movie.
We need to wait for Dungeons & Dragons, the extended edition.
Well, there was three of them.
For TV sequels, yeah. See, this is one of the things that bugs me the most. See, you have a character who's the, like we say, he's the heavy, right? So he is being tortured by the real bad guy, the Jeremy Irons character, in order to get the bad or get the good guys. So that makes you think that it would be set up so that he turns good near the end. But because you've made him sympathetic now.
It does make sense, yeah.
But that does not happen.
Nope.
He is an asshole at the highest level the whole time. And it just becomes one of those weird things. It's like, why then do that scene? Like, they have this.
Well, because he's not supposed to fail him again. He failed him one time.
Yeah, but you've made him sympathetic. So, why are you making this character sympathetic? Like, it's just poor. It's just shitty. Like,
did I not explain that they make the wrong decision every single time?
I forgot that part. Yeah.
Did anyone else think Snails was going to reveal himself as an elf at one point?
Yes.
Because he wears that stupid hat the entire thing that hides his ears.
For half the movie, I thought that. As soon as he met the elf girl, I'm like, well, this makes perfect sense. He's wearing the weird thing so that he is hiding the fact he's an elf. Anytime now, he's going to take that off and like, hey, you're an elf, I'm an elf.
He was just trying to hide the fact that he's a really shitty actor.
Yeah, which Wayans was that, Frankie?
Marlon Wayans. Marlon Wayans. The one in all of the scary...
Here's the thing. I saw him. I saw his stand up like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Dude is phenomenal, you know. But in this, you just
it's
terrible.
It's like I don't know. I mean, I've played Dungeons and Dragons before. I mean, it's not my thing. But the truth is that I don't understand how you could sit there and be like, you know what's really going to add to this movie? We should put Marlon Wayans in it. Because comic relief is what we need in the Dungeons & Dragons movie.
I wouldn't want Marlon. Casual almost racism.
Yes. I don't know. I think you could take out the word almost.
I wouldn't want Marlon Wayans at my Dungeons & Dragons game. I will give it this as far as loyalty to the source material. This is exactly as entertaining as listening to someone talk to you about their Dungeons and Dragons adventure.
I'd argue that it's actually significantly more entertaining.
Oh, I don't know. This was such a chore. Like, this was such a chore. Like, you're watching and you're like, this is just bad movie making. Don't get me wrong. It's been 10 days, so I have seen worse films since then.
I mean, I don't know that I've seen worse films as a whole. But, you know, that's to me, that's part of the charm of this movie, is that it's extraordinarily bad. Like, it's beyond the lexicon of
I talked about it more in the last week than I have any other movie I watched in the last week. I talked about this more than I have The Irishman. like, you know what we're doing on the show right now? Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, today at work, two guys were talking. They're like, and Jeremy Irons is so good in this. He's phenomenal. And I'm like, hey, have you seen him in Dungeons and Dragons?
Man, he just chews the scene.
Oh, my lord.
Every scene.
It's not even close.
Jack Nicholson as the Joker seems subtle.
like, he's yelling and screaming and just belting things out. And it's just like, you know, dude, you're like alone in the room. Or it's like you and Lipstick Dude in the room. You don't have to scream.
I don't know who this whole thing's for. Lipstick Dude seems to be unquestionably loyal, given that you put an earworm thing in his head and he's still here and will be after he gets it out. Like,
It's not like he leaves. There's no redemption for the character. I hate it when a bad guy puts on another bad guy. It makes no sense. It doesn't do anything for them. Oh, yeah, but what a just piece of crap this is.
Did anyone else think it was weird, the sword fight during the dragons, that the all the swords glowed despite the fact they weren't lightsabers? And and I'm pretty sure Ridley's wasn't magic.
Yeah, well, one of them was a magic sword. I actually think that they just couldn't remember which one was supposed to be a magic sword and decided to make both magic
swords. I love that you've got this world-changing wizard and the final battle comes down to swords.
Well,
big face-off. Your mage does nothing in this movie. It's worse than having a cleric in your Dungeons & Dragons game.
Well, it's nothing.
No, she saved Ridley, but let Snails die because he was black.
But that scene where she saves him, literally, he comes out and he's starting the sword fight with Lipstick Dude, and she sits there watching him get his ass kicked for like 5 minutes, just stunned, like, I don't know what to do. And then she looks over and sees there's this bag that she can do magic with and goes, shit, I have magic. I forgot, because it was convenient. And that was sound that you heard right there was me slapping my own forehead.
And well, can anyone explain why the troll was, or not the troll, the dwarf was even there? Does he do anything in
no,
this movie?
No, he does one thing. When they are in the tavern earlier and they get into the map, for whatever reason, that I don't actually understand that part, but then again, it's a part of the movie, so that's totally fair. But
its big flaw was being in this movie.
Yeah,
that made it much more impenetrable.
They're in the map, and then Lipstick Dude and the bad guys show up. So the dwarf rolls up the map, and basically, instead of deciding to try for a back door, he decides to clomp down the stairs, being as obvious as humanly possible, and then basically try to get out between all the bad guys. But him picking up the map and trying to get away with it is truly the only thing that he does of any value in the entire movie, other than using his axe to you know, beat off bad guys.
He's in just about every frame after he's introduced.
He's in a lot of them. Well, until you have that magic moment where your main male character has to go on alone because, you know.
Of course.
Because
he's literally the least qualified
yes.
out of the remaining yeah. party. So they said yeah. they got to entrust it to him.
At no point in time is it made clear that he or has had any training with a sword. And he seems completely incompetent. And all of a sudden he gets the sword and he's like the best fighter ever. And just kicking everybody's ass. I'm like, what did this?
But here's the thing. This is such a trope of fantasy movies. Oh, in sure. that, yeah. of course, you have the character that knows nothing. And then suddenly he becomes heroic. But the problem is, it didn't follow any of the proper rules of that. It's just like one of those magical.
Still get training usually.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But instead, in this case, it's just like like snap and bang, he's good. But he's still an idiot.
The fact that he kind of falls for the chick, and that's why like he's a thief. And Wayans' character there, Marlon Wayans' character, Snail there, keeps on saying to him, what are you being loyal to her for? She's a mage. And like his motivation to help her is like, they don't even fully, you know, like flesh out the fact that it's obviously that he just wants to bang her. Like it's just all of a sudden he's like, yeah, I'm just going to do what's right. You know, why? You're a thief. It hasn't been like nothing's established. Here's I had something I was going to say. What were we talking about 2 minutes ago before this?
The dwarf.
The dwarf.
Yeah. See, here's the part that gets me. It was the dwarf. So I'm watching this and I'm all pissed off because one of my few problems with Lord of the Rings is that all the dwarf characters, especially, you know, Gimli there, it's like they have no dignity. They're like just comic relief. Nothing like they were in the book, just comic relief so we can have some kids come to the movie. And I'm all pissed off. I'm like, oh, they ripped off Lord of the Rings here and just made another dwarf just comic relief. And then I find out it's out like a year beforehand. I have to apologize to this movie now. It's hard to believe Thora Birch is also a good actor. Could she have been bored anymore?
She was the... To return to the Phantom Menace metaphor, she is definitely the Natalie Portman of this.
Yes.
Movie.
Oh yes.
She must have said no to Harvey and couldn't get any more work after American Beauty, and ended up here in Dungeons and Dragons.
What world after this or before this?
I think it would have been before. Someone can check that. So she's the princess. She's about to ascend to the throne.
Empress.
She's alternatively referred to. Yeah. It is referred to as an empire. So I guess she is an empress. She would be an empress when she ascends to the throne.
Are you sure she isn't referred to as Padme?
I'm not.
2000. So you okay. would have never thought she had a good performance in her, seeing this movie. But
and it looks to be some kind of some kind of House of Lords situations. It doesn't look like they're elected officials, but she does. She has like a, her power is offset by this other body that is trying to, that Jeremy Irons has just totally taken over. But it always strikes me as odd in these kinds of movies that the royals are obsessed with giving up their own power. Like, she is desperate to not be in charge of anybody. She wants to make everyone equal and stop, you know, this whole her being ruler of the place. It must be the only time that we see this. This is not something that happens in the, in our world at any time, where the royals are just like, you know, I think we've had a good run.
Yeah, exactly. I feel bad for, everybody should be equal, so I'm going to give up my power.
there's usually a period of bloodshed in the middle, in between those two things. But no, here's Thorbjörn. She's arguing in favor. Is the lead guy? That's not the guy from Senior Trip, is it? For half this movie, I thought it was the guy from Senior Trip.
Justin Whalen.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
I mean, if he's in anything else, it's really quite amazing.
He was in Child's Play 3, and he was Jimmy Olsen in Lois and Clark: The New Adventures of Superman.
That's what I know him from. Yeah,
that's where he looks familiar from. Yeah, and he was in National Lampoon's Storm Days too.
Storm Days too. Oh, that explains it.
That is definitely what I know him from. How many times?
Man,
did you say Dorm Days 2 or 3?
2.
Oh, then never mind.
It's amazing. He worked a lot in 2009 and then fell off the face of the earth.
Well, that was when somebody finally looked at his resume and went, Dungeons and Dragons. Shit, my bad. We're not casting you.
Oh, he just worked really hard until the word caught up.
Yeah. And I think I need to talk about Jeremy Irons some more, and the volume of roles that this man takes to pay for things. You know, like,
it is true that people ask him, why did you do this? And he said, I had just bought a castle and needed to pay for it.
Well, and there's him taking on the role of Alfred as well, where it was just like, yeah, the movie, I didn't like the movie, but I had bills to pay, you know. And so it's just like, he comes out and says that so many times, it's amazing.
I don't even know if he said he saw Batman Superman. I thought he just said that, like, you know, he just did it and that was that. Like,
yeah, well, cause, yeah,
I remember him giving a review of it.
It was a paycheck for him, totally a paycheck. He had something that he had to pay off, like, and that was
lavish lifestyle, right?
But I mean, well,
how kind of got to buy castles, yeah. that's probably not a one-off.
I've seen your house pretty close to a castle. I mean, you're being a little extravagant there.
Hey, I wonder if he bought the castle from Spellcaster.
You kind of imagine that he's like, you know, like, you know, buying a castle is not a one-off, that's a pattern. Like, it's not like, you know, I'm usually so frugal and careful with my money, but you know, I deserve a treat.
Yeah. He's a serial castleist. But in all of these movies, he just gives it. I'll give him that. Like, you know, serial over actor, no question.
Well, that's the thing, is he's got to have so much confidence in his own ability that he can go, I'm going to try and ruin my career and then still get an Oscar role next week.
Yeah, because nothing, he's Teflon, nothing hurts him. Like, he's
one of those actors that can walk back and forth, that can just... right between the raindrops. Yeah. Like, nothing sticks to him.
it's amazing. This movie is completely...
How about this one? Marlon Wayans' character dies. Spoiler alert. The character dies.
Which was great.
Yeah, exactly.
I was actually way more upset when he came back to life.
So here's... Well, he doesn't. Like... sort is implied that he's somewhere, mm-hmm. and they set up the sequel, but luckily that never happened. But yeah, so the lipstick dude kills him. So they're having this sword fight where lipstick dude is beating him up, and he's being all, you know, funny like he always is. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, I can't remember what it was, he's like, no, now I'm serious. And the guy says to him, you can't be serious. Like lipstick dude, you can't be serious. You have to be kidding me. And he goes, I've never been so serious all my life. And you're like, oh, well, now he's not screwing around anymore. And you're like, it's going to be now. Now what's the fight going to be? And then he just gets his ass kicked just as bad. Like, like they set it up so this is the moment of his redemption. And he just gets his ass kicked and killed. And when he dies, you literally are sitting there going, thank God. It's the exact opposite of what you're supposed to have. So then the rest of the movie that the other character, Ridley there, the lead, he's like all sad and upset because his friend got killed. And you feel no sympathy for him because it's like, dude, how did you not kill him yourself before this?
I would suggest that he was brooding, but I don't think his acting range included any more than that.
You know? Oh, man. Let's score this puppy.
Oh, please, please, yes.
All right. In our search for the ultimate B-movie, we rate each film in 5 categories. Stan, how many of them are objective quality, just for the purposes of this film?
12.
That's right, none. None of them are objective quality.
That gives this film a chance. It doesn't deserve it. Make an exception. This one time only have 100 objective qualities. Or 50.
All right, the first category we call schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
Well, the other day I was listening to some of the earlier episodes from this season as I was editing them, and Jack came out and said that, you know, the measure of schlock appeal is that you can watch a movie that you know is a bad movie, but you enjoy it so much. And so I was watching this movie and realized how truly bad a movie it is, because it is an abominable movie. There's nothing particularly good about it, but I was enjoying the viewing experience so much because nothing's right about it. So as far as I'm concerned, this is a schlock masterpiece, 10.
Holy shit, are you kidding? Now you're trolling us.
No, you set those rules. I laughed my ass off at this movie. Really? It's a 10.
Really? Actually, I kind of agree. I enjoyed myself. I had fun. And, I mean, they bought a name, Dungeons & Dragons. That's brand name merchandise right there. You get your audience. They're kind of slimy, but that's part of the schlock to, you know, sell something under a different title. Yeah, it worked for me, and it was a great time. They didn't cheap out on the god-awfulness of it. It just keeps going, and it gets crazier and crazier as the movie goes. So I have to say 8. It pains me. I think that's going to be my highest number for this entire movie, but 8. On schlock appeal.
Well, Jeremy Irons will give it a 1. I'll give it a 1 for that. So Jeremy Irons is really schlocky. Dude, I've watched this. I was so bored, so painful. There's nothing enjoyable about it other than Jeremy Irons being Jeremy Irons overacting. Like, it's just a terrible movie. It's horrible,
dude,
in every way.
You got to give it one more just for the lipstick, dude, man. He wore blue lipstick the entire movie without a hint of irony.
All right, 2. I'll give it a 2.
I'm going to go right down the middle and say 8. I don't know how many times I've said, like, you know, over the past, I was at a Christmas party and I mentioned, like, Dungeons & Dragons, the one with Jeremy Irons. And everyone like who loves Dungeons and Dragons is like, ugh. Yes. And I'm like, I know. You think, right? Like you got a brand name, you want to hit the target market by not appealing to any of them.
Yeah.
Now there's a big resurgence in Dungeons and Dragons. This movie's not going to get its 20th anniversary Blu-ray release for it.
Oh, but boy, oh boy, I would like love to hear that audio commentary
with commentary by Will Wheaton and Joe Maglione. Yeah. 8 for me. More heart than budget. Just before we start, reported budget of $45 million.
Yeah.
Which may be more than the last two seasons cost.
This has got to be our most expensive movie. $45 million in the year 2000?
It's one of the highest for sure. It's the first or second, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, which
not
is what?
Quite, not quite blockbuster money, but mainstream movie money.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not mainstream movie special effects, but hey, you can't have it all.
Well, no, and that's really it. I mean, they take that $45 million and they put it up their nose because there is, like, they certainly do not put it into any of the special effects. I don't know how much they needed to pay Thora Birch and Jeremy Irons and perhaps Marlon Wayans, but it is nowhere on the screen is it obvious that there is even $1 billion budget. So for me, there is absolutely no question that this is a zero.
This movie for me, nobody wants to be here and they know what it is. They are going through the motions at every step. You can almost see the look in Thora Birch's face when she's acting, just going, you know, if I just quit and walk off, I am never working again. I signed a contract before this started. And that's everybody in this film, with the exception of Jeremy Irons, who, you know, he chews up the scenery, but he's doing Jeremy Irons. That's what he does. And maybe also Marlon Wayans, but I'm not completely sure he knew this was a Dungeons & Dragons movie. He just showed up and did his routine.
Maybe he got paid in weed, I think.
Yeah, that's what this movie is. It's a paycheck for whoever was involved and not anything else. Please, nobody. I'll give it a zero as well.
I got a one. I don't know.
Where is one iota of heart in this entire thing? There is no heart.
They got the dude from The Maze, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's geography. That's not art.
One, it's a Canadian filmmaker, so you know he the fact that he knew of this British TV show The Maze, that's something. So I'll give it a one. I mean, like, you can't even explain how Jurassic Park came out in 1993, and I don't know what the budget was for Jurassic Park. I guess it probably won't be $60 million in 1993, it looks like. 63. This is 45. It's 7 years later. Dragons are essentially the same thing as
dinosaurs.
It doesn't even, and I'm not kidding, reach the quality of the dragons. Don't even reach the quality of walking with dinosaurs. Nevertheless,
it doesn't reach the quality of those blow up raptors that you buy at Halloween that walk around.
It's unbelievable.
See, and to me, this is a selling point of this movie, quite frankly.
Oh, no. I fucking loved it.
Like, I don't give a shit. Like, to me, I am the happiest guy in the world that it's like that you can go from a 10 from Schlagabiel to a 0 for more than budget. Like,
I love that in the first 5 minutes, we get some of the worst CG that we will see in the entire film. And it is a dungeon, and it is a dragon.
Oh, and that CG is spectacularly bad. The blood.
It is. It's like video game cut footage for the first 5 minutes of this movie. It has Richard O'Brien. I'll give it a one. What the fuck moments?
Okay. Well, firstly, I have two really big what the fuck moments. Number one is that it was made, because every decision was, what the fuck are you doing?
I like it. It took him like 19 years to make it. Well, he was 19 years old when he got the property. There's the Canadian who he's gone on to produce like a bunch of like made for direct to video movies. Like the guy who's Cortland Sutherland or something like that. I can't remember his name. What the hell's his name? You'd think I'd know this. But anyways, yeah, like it took him forever. Like he was about to lose the property.
Oh, so, Courtney Solomon?
Solomon, that's it, yeah.
All right, so Marlon Wayans being in this movie, what the fuck? There's no question about that for me. the blue lipstick, I mean, we've talked about it so much. It's what the fuck. Because, it's not like there's anybody else in the movie with blue lipstick, so it's just like, oh, that's part of his race. No. He's just wearing blue fucking lipstick for no good reason. At one point, they go into a magic school because they're trying to rob it. Every single prop in the magic school is what the fuck. Like, they pick up a tooth, and they're holding this tooth like it's, well, made out of, paper mache or styrofoam kind of thing. And they're just flinging it around. It's just like, you're not even trying. Not at all. There's a part where they need to go to visit the Thieves Guild. And there's a purple alien and his tongue. And that was what the fuck. The maze that actually was just a hallway. What the fuck. The earworm interrogation scene, where it's just like the two earworms pop out of his ears and connect to the other person's ears. It's like, I'm just looking at it and I'm like, what? But, and then, as we kind of talked about before, the mage only actually does one spell in the entire thing. And it's early, and it puts them in ropes, which obviously better be a spell, because otherwise all you would need to do was turn, and you would be able to be out of those ropes. So I sure hope that those were magic ropes.
Definitely magic ropes.
Definitely magic ropes. Yeah, exactly. This movie's existence by itself is what the fuck. So 10.
The WTF that I'm choosing to highlight, anytime you have a simple, like, let's end this, give everyone a happy ending, and I don't understand what's going on. They're standing at Snail's grave, and a rock starts to glow.
and Snail's gets etched off of the rock,
say he's elsewhere.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. Last time we saw him, he was stabbed and fell off the side of a castle or something. Like, there was no moment where you're like, well, he could have lived.
Like, well, they're saying goodbye to him, and I can feel something's going to happen. I was like 99% sure that Snails was going to sit up out of that grave, sort of as a zombie elf, because I kind of still thought he was elf even at the end.
I did too.
And then a rock starts to glow, and then they end the movie, and I'm, what? I don't know what to do with this. I can't make up a story, a narrative that this makes sense.
You never will. You never will.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of incompetence, but
an enormous amount, yeah. Like, but entirely.
But is that WTF? I mean, there's a lot of WTF, but it's mostly incompetence. Hell, I mean, you look at that the IMDb page of continuity errors. There's over 100, I'm pretty sure. It's pages and pages of just continuity errors. But WTF, I'm only going to give it a 5 because none of them were that entertaining.
It's generally just shitty filmmaking more than WTF.
Yeah.
So that's your argument. I understand that to a degree. I mean, it is like, let's, I think that to me, this film is summed up by the fact that we have these elf characters. So at one point, one character is hurt. The lead character is hurt. So he has to go and meet the elves or whatever. And like the lead elf, like the elf king saves his life or whatever. And everybody's talking to him and they're like, well, how did you do that? And he's like, well, you guys use magic. We are magic.
Oh, I'm like, that's just
like such a, like, what does that even mean? Like, I'm like, then why are you saving the world all the time here? Why are you letting all this shit happen? Like, nothing makes any sense in this film. I'll give it a strong WTF score of 6. 7. I'll give it a 7.
I that exchange where they're talking about magic is the it is like the number one WTF for me. It is the season of magic after all. So elves equal magic, humans use magic. Then he says all things are magic, and then he said dragons make magic.
That's right. That's true. Yeah, when you dive a little deeper, it's even more. Good lord.
It is the worst explanation for how for what magic is that I have ever heard. I also there's one part where they've escaped into the sewers and the I think it's Jeremy Irons or Lipstick Guy yells, I want people posted at every sewer entrance and exit. Are those two things? Yeah. Is it only one way traffic? Like,
I think in medieval times sewers were a little different. There were ins and outs. It's like a digestive system.
It's right? Magic.
I think the biggest WTF for me is how surprisingly easy it is to kill a dragon.
Oh God, yes.
Because one of them gets just rancored early, like in the first 5 minutes of the movie. He just drops a gate on it and yep. It's gone. And then another one gets hit by a big arrow. Like it just they don't seem that scary to me.
Why is Thor Birch's character riding a dragon?
Well, because she could control the dragon, the gold dragon.
Okay, because she has that. Yeah, because she has that thing. But she's why is she? Why is she making herself vulnerable? She could control it. Just tell it to go fucking kill stuff. Like, well, don't drive it and hang yourself out to dry so you can get killed.
But this is where Game of Thrones stole from Dungeons and Dragons. See, I actually think Dungeons and Dragons is probably, you know, the most influential movie of all time.
LPR or Lord of the
Yeah, Lord of the Rings definitely lifted from.
Yep. Yeah, Lord of the Rings. Yeah, yeah, yeah. By you know, dwarves with no dignity. You know, Game of Thrones. Star Wars, as we mentioned earlier.
I give it a 7 in this category. Memorable moments, Dan.
Well, I'm going to remember that this is amongst the worst made movies ever. There's no question about that. The little things are gonna go away. There's no doubt. Is my desire to watch this movie again going to go away? No, I don't think so. This is the kind of thing that I would be like, I really want to watch a shitty movie and laugh. I will put this one on. I think I'll remember that. It's more of the fact that it's just so incompetently done that I am going to remember. Is that a positive for it? I can't necessarily say, but I'll give it a 6.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know if I'm going to remember this. I'm going to remember the lipstick. So that gives a couple points.
That's a WTF, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess
but I am going to remember it. But the rest of it, there's a bunch of shitty stuff in here. But if I want a movie with a shitty CG, I'm going to go with The Scorpion King. If I want mildly racist Wayans brother shit, there are 10 other movies like that. So I don't know how much of this is going to stick. If I want
but Jeremy this combines all those things.
Absolutely nutso. There's 40 other choices I could make. So really, I can only give it a 2.
2 sounds about right. Memorable moments. Here's what I'll remember about this. How angry I was that I had to watch it. As I'm watching it, stewing, going, I hate Stan so much right now. That's what I'm going to remember about this movie.
I kind of thought you'd really enjoy it, because I did. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I'm not going to remember it.
Was that your final answer, Jack?
Yeah, 2.
2? I talked to 5 different people about this movie, and every one of them said, "What the fuck was up with that ending?" one of them, frame by frame, knew the ending of the movie and talked about the way that the name disappears, like goes off and pixelates, like pixie dusts away, and One of them talked about how like the last 5 minutes make no narrative sense with the rest of the film, and it's just this abrupt left turn, setting up a sequel that does not happen. I'll also come back. Zoe McClellan. That's a handsome young lady. Now totally age appropriate, actually, because this movie's 20 years old. She was the handsome lady of my age that was a designated survivor.
She is 45 years old, so perfectly acceptable.
Bonus points for how many people told me that they remembered it, like having not liked the movie, they still remember the ending for that clearly. So I'm going up to an 8 on that.
That means the WTF of that moment should be higher, but not the memorable moment.
The scoring system is vague at best.
Yes, I believe that every single
100 of these,
every single one of us has scored things based on different criteria.
Absolutely,
Jack, your rules change season by season for what each one means. So.
Well, as it should be, that's Boogaloo of me.
By the wheel, I spin every time. I'm asked for a number.
Is it? And it just has 0 to 9. Is that one?
-4.
Crazy concept, Stan.
Crazy concept. Ah, well, Dungeons and Dragons by itself is not crazy. Like you would think to yourself, hey, making a movie out of a Dungeons and Dragons, you know, out of that. That just seems like smart filmmaking for the most part, you know, try to get yourself a property out of it. Making this movie out of Dungeons and Dragons is bug nutty, is what that is. So for me, I'm going to go 9 because of sheer incompetence.
Wow.
I love it.
Wow. Your wheel may be broken.
Oh man, this is the wheel and it spins.
This is okay, we got the property of Dungeons and Dragons. Let's make that movie. And they did, but failed on every level. That's not concept. That is we got this property. Let's get a party together and have them fight dragons and a bad guy and
yeah, but they didn't. They didn't even try to tell Dungeons and Dragons.
That's all put.
So I can give it a 1.
Yeah, you're screwing up the. It's not. It's not. It's that's not concept. That's something else. I would agree. I will give it a little more because to me, here's the crazy concept. If this is true, and I doubt it is, but according to this director, who's directed 3 movies, all wildly considered horrid.
Perfect.
And this is his first movie that he directed. And he apparently pitched, it was the Wizards of the Coast, people who make Dungeons and Dragons, told him he had to direct it. And he pitched to other directors and they kept turning them down, saying, no, you're the one who knows the property. One of those other directors that apparently he pitched was Francis Ford Coppola.
That's a crazy concept. What are you talking about?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But that this guy ever thought that was a thing.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. The fact that Wizards of the Coast would go, what's he ever done? You're more qualified to direct this movie than that Coppola guy. That to me gives it a 4. I'll give it a 4 based on that alone.
I like that it's a Dungeons & Dragons movie that involved what you remembered from flipping through it at the bookstore.
Yes. that's truly the crazy.
It didn't even bring it home. I'm going to give it a 5. All right. That closes out a very contentious round of scoring. One of the most wrought ones we've had on the show.
Well, I love this movie, so... Yeah, I'm glad I brought this.
I had a lot of fun with this.
The difference in scoring between mine and Stan is maybe the biggest difference of any movie so far. Is it bigger than that Big City Blue or whatever the hell that
I don't know, but surprisingly, Nick and Jack ended up with the same scores. For seemingly having very different reactions to the film. They both ended up
with crazy.
Only a 16 out of 50. So a 19-point spread there from the two guys to Stan. And I was almost exactly halfway between. And each season we have six secret modifiers. This film does have two of them. It gets a plus one for having magical creatures. It does get a minus one for going over 95 minutes, being one of the longest films we've done so far at 107 minutes.
Yes. We've done a couple of long ones. Beastmaster 2 was long, and then this one.
But Beastmaster 2, though, felt its 100 minutes. This felt 5 million minutes.
Oh, no.
I did watch this over two nights.
That's cheating. You can't get a proper score on how cheating this film is.
I am well skilled. I'm a trained professional. Do not try this amount of boogaloo at home.
There's a lot of boogaloo in this.
That gives us a final score of 48 out of 100, which is exactly the same score as Santa Claus. Right ahead of The Big Bet and right behind Monolith Monsters.
There you go.
All right. Another one in the bag, Dungeons and Dragons.
How did that movie not go directly to DVD?
I'm
the $45 million budget says that it.
I'm actually wondering if this is this may be the first film we've done from the bottom 100 on IMDb.
Lowest
rated. That seems unlikely.
I think it is actually because there's a lot of there's some that are just political, you know. From Justin to Kelly, that's just politics.
and the movie.
And I imagine that at some point we will get to Shaquille O'Neal's Steel, which is I think it is actually the first movie from that. Just a quick glance, Jaws 3D we end up doing on the show.
That's right.
Yeah, and I'm really surprised that Frankenstein Conquers the World isn't on there.
Well, it's the bottom 100 is like a 4 out of 10 and down on IMDb, and there's probably some limitation for like how many movies get voted, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean sometimes you got to like the big budget
it's like
ones.
Like every movie Paris Hilton's been in is on the list, so that really eats up a lot of space.
Including One Night in Paris, because I enjoyed that one.
Oh boy,
it's only considered a short.
How do we not get? How have we not gotten Paris Hilton yet?
How can you tell? How can you tell? It's considered a short. I'm going to tell the dude she was with it. You said that about him.
It's the whole movie takes place in the time it takes to compose a good tweet.
Can we end this podcast before Jack talks about porn more?
that is totally fair. Okay.
Yeah, so I can get off. So we can get off screen, and I can talk to you about porn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, next episode that's coming up, as we get so close to the end of this season, Warlock 2, The Armageddon. This one was brought to us by Nick, so I know that's gonna be, should be boogaloo. You know, Nick likes his boogaloo.
Yeah,
yeah. And I have nothing to back this up. I have no factual basis. But I believe the same CG artists as Dungeons and Dragons may have got their start here.
Okay.
Warlock 2, Armageddon.
Well, I'm just hoping that it's as good as Dungeons and Dragons then. But
lesser scale.
Yeah. Of course.
Quality.
Okay, Jim. Let's do some business.
All right. Please subscribe and review our podcast on your favorite podcast app or on YouTube. You can also follow us on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, and you can follow our podcast sponsors, We Talk Podcasts, on Twitter and Facebook.
Sweet. I think that sounds like fun. Just like this show. It's fun. It's fun to do this. Okay. Season 10, Do You Believe in Magic? It's moving on with Warlock 2, The Armageddon, and then we've got that episode, and then we're going into talking about which movies are going to appear on and are going to get ready to enter the Octagon. So that's going to be tons of fun for a couple weeks from now, couple whenever episodes from now. So if anybody has anything else to say? Nope. All right, let's go home. So for Jim and for Jack and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu. So thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
In a faraway world,
all people deserve to be free and equal.
The child is not fit to govern an empire.
The forces of darkness.
You can control dragons.
With the dragon army at my command, I can crush the Empress.
This has got to be some twisted magic experiment gone seriously wrong.
Have threatened to conquer a kingdom.
What can I do to stop Profion?
If you can obtain the Rod of Savril, you could control red dragons.
I suggest we lay low, let the whole thing blow over, come back, rob everybody.
There's one small problem.
Problem?
I kind of committed us to find it.
Let the blood rain from the sky!
Trust me.
I hate when you say that!
Don't touch that!
Kill them slowly.
No! You finish the maze, you win the prize.
Complete this task alone.
You know, I love the way you track.
I'll get Marina, you get the map.
How you get the girl and I get a map? We gotta work out some new plans.
I want them found.
Do you really think you can steal my destiny?
Be careful.
You too.
Play, do you?